I'll birth in you this revival. And you'll find that the prayer that intercedes and goes out in front begins to be the order of many of your services. That you'll find this same place of anointing in your private place. For I desire to sit with you, each and every one of you, and come on you for this same purpose. For if I can begin to break you individually, then I can bring you together to cause what I'm wanting to happen in the earth, saith the Lord. So find my seasons of refreshing to be coming on you, and out of that refreshing know that I desire of the utmost to impart and to speak. First to impart, and then for you to listen and let me break the bread to you and feed you as a good father. You'll find that many, many things that the enemy had scheduled for you, and all things that he had, you'll find that in this anointing, as you cultivate it for yourself, you'll find that you get past it so much easier, with such an ease and such a grace, that you'll almost wonder whether or not it was really intended to be a real test or trial. But oh yes, you'll find yourself soaring with strength like an eagle. For this is what I said through my prophet, that those who wait upon me will continually find themselves in a place of renewal, that their strength mounts up to a place where that everything that could possibly be coming against them seems like nothing underneath the wings of my spirit. And I'll soar with you as I begin to break the bread of life to you and speak gently. So many harsh words are spoken in the world, and so many harsh words spoken to you, and so many harsh words spoken sometimes among you. Know this, that my words are peaceable and easy to be entreated, easy to be digested. For those who will receive them, they'll be life to those who find it, and health to all of their spirit and soul and body, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah, Jesus. And so ingest and digest my anointing, saith the Spirit of grace, that you'll find it does break every yoke. Hallelujah. Many of you can feel God in the stillness. Whew, hallelujah. If you heard Him, He wants you to practice that at home too. Hallelujah. So oftentimes we don't know what He's wanting to say or do, and you just feel a quietness. You know what? He's just hovering over you. It's like when the Holy Spirit brooded over the face of the deep. He's just fixing things and putting things back together. Sometimes we live in such a fast pace, the hardest thing to do is just to get still, quiet. Hallelujah. Why don't you just lift those hands now? Do you lift that voice up and magnify Him? I exalt you. I worship you. I glorify you. Hallelujah. Jesus, you're worthy. You got it over, Father. You got it over what you wanted to do, and you're pleased. I worship you. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Why don't you guys bring that down here for a moment? Glory. Hallelujah. You can.
Hey, did you know we're headed towards revival, somebody? Matthew chapter 5. We're not really going to stay there very much. We really don't have anything in Matthew 5. Oh, yeah, we do. Just one thing. Verse 1, and seeing the multitude, He, being Jesus, went up into the mountain. And when He was set, His disciples came unto Him. And He opened His mouth and taught them, saying... Now, where did He go? He went up into a mountain, didn't He? Now, have you noticed, and if you've got a King James Version, and it's a red letter edition, it starts the red letters in 5:3, and it goes all the way over to chapter 7, verse 27. And when it gets past that in 28, 29, when it says in verse 1 of 8, it says, and when He came down from the mountain. So, He was on the mountain. He said all these red letter things between those in that time. And then He's coming down from the mountain. So everything that Jesus said from 5 through 7 of 27 is all one sit-down sermon. I'm saying that to tell you, you'll see in a moment how important it is, some of the things that Christ says right in the middle of this. Holy Spirit, we just thank You. Just for these next few moments, we've already had service because You've come and You've glorified Christ. And we're so thankful. My God, we're thankful. So we're asking You now just to bless Your people through Your Word. And then we'll go out and get ready for more of the week and more of Your coming presence. And we thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know if you know it or not, but there's probably... the biggest, to me, and I don't know who all sometimes individually is, but even a lot more than not, who's not here, there's probably the greatest overwhelming, I'd call it, representation of people fasting this year in our church than there's ever been. And I want to say praise God for it. Hallelujah, Jesus. I mean... I don't ask, really, but it's just coming up and people are calling and asking questions. And the last couple Sundays we've been on the teaching of fasting. Well, it's not because it's a seasonal thing. And it's not because it's a fad. Listen, this isn't a fad. This is the Holy Spirit breathing on this church and asking us with His anointing to go in and get something done and get something accomplished. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. What He's really doing is He's kind of he's ratcheting down the hatches. He's getting us ready for an outpouring. And I'm telling you, as for me and my house, we're getting ready. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory be to God. So, I just wanted to let you know, behind the scenes, and a lot of you haven't gotten into one. You know you're going to get into one, and you're intended. And wherever you start, God is so well pleased. He is so well pleased. Man, last Sunday was one of the most wonderful. If you can have a good, absolutely powerful pact. In fact, the past two Sundays on fasting, the Holy Spirit's just anointed it so strong. And the attentiveness of the people. And I had people call me, and I know people that are going in that haven't in years or never have. And so God is doing something in our midst. I want you to recognize that we're going forth as a family. Hallelujah. And as I said, this isn't a fad. It's, you know, if you think it's kind of like, well, you know, it's seasonal, pastor. No, this, I can feel the Holy Spirit in this. He's breathing on it. He was wanting to get us ready for an outpouring, ready to receive. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah. And so, I wanted to read these verses of Scripture to you and help you feel good about your intentions and what a lot of you are doing and where a lot of you are intending. Listen, two, the best thing to do is sometimes, I don't know if you're like me, maybe it's a part that needs to be fasted out. I'm not a fad kind of person. Like if everybody's doing something, usually I just wait and see, wait until they get done doing what they're doing. I don't know why. But I'm telling you, now's not the best time to just wait. Now's a good time to just find out how soon you can dive in. Why would you say that? Because I'm talking to revivalists now. Okay? We've been at this 10 years. It's time to really talk straight to revivalists. If we're ever going to start. Don't wait till the end of the first quarter. Because this one he wants you to do to start with, hard to tell you this, but it's not. It's probably not the only one he wants you to do this year. Don't do one and do whatever you can do now and get ready for the next one. Why? Because we're being changed from glory to glory. So you wait 6 months and say, I'm going to wait, and I'll tell you what, when everybody slacks off, then I'll pick up the pace and carry it for the church. You're not carrying it for me. Carry it for yourself. But the fact of the matter is, if you wait 3 or 4 months, you'll do that one. And then, because what'll happen in fast, you start hearing real well and he'll start talking to you about the next one. If you'd have started now, the second one, which would have, or the first one, usually would have been the second one or the third one. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Boy, a lot of you are just loving me more and more. So I'll tell you, though, there's a grace in what we're doing. There really is a grace in what we're doing. But look at this. This is the one I really wanted you to see. It's in chapter 7. He says in chapter 7, verse 24, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine. Now, what sayings is he talking about? I mean, you can say all the sayings of Christ. That's right. But in particular, the sayings that he's talking about is the ones that started in chapter 5. So he's talking about these sayings. And he says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man. Hallelujah. Everybody say, I am. A wise person. A wise man, he says. I will liken him to a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Now that's talking about your future. He's talking about your future, your family, your household, your walk into Christ. Like one that built his house upon the rock. And this is what he said now. He promised this. The rains descended and the floods came. And the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not. Hallelujah. For it was founded upon a rock. Hallelujah. Oh, thank God. You know, I remember something the Holy Spirit said tonight. I think it was in that prophecy. Or maybe it was somewhere in the admonition of prophecy. It was like, if you'll go ahead and get strong, you'll hardly notice when the trial came and left. Hallelujah. When he's talking about winds coming and trials coming, that does not entail you having to be blown around by them. That doesn't mean, sometimes, you see, God cannot promise you, in fact, He promised you quite the opposite, that trials will come. But just the word trial, it engulfs people sometimes. It makes them think negatively, contrary to what Jesus is saying here. They think of a trial, okay, if it's a trial, then it's a test or it's something that encompasses me that I'm having to live under the oppression of it. Jesus promised quite the opposite. If you learn how to take part in His sayings, no matter what the enemy throws at you, in this year, or us as a church, we can sail through it with great joy and with great peace. Hallelujah. Almost to the measure to say, hey, was there any trials in 2008? Well, the only thing that'll guarantee you that kind of immunity is this. He says, everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not if you don't do His sayings, shall be like unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew, beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. He said, the thing that differentiated the man that could not take the stand and the man that could take the stand and get through it with his hands lifted up. I'm not talking about a war-weary person like, oh, I made it and my hands are lifted up, but look at all these bullet holes in me. I'm talking about standing on a place with such a resolve that's down inside of you. And you just went through the whole thing that that person to your right went through. But you're standing on a rock. But what differentiated? What kept that person? The simple fact that Jesus said, the man who hears and does my sayings. It's one thing to say amen to the sayings. It's another thing to step out on them and say, I am going to practice what Jesus said. Hallelujah. Now this is pretty simple. And I told you it wouldn't take long. But from 5 to 7 are those sayings that He's talking about. Well, a lot of times we chat about the Word of God. But a lot of times we don't take it and just absolutely do it. I'm talking about doing the sayings. Well, could you tell me one of the ways that I could do? Hey, did you know that from 5 to 7, somewhere in that, is one of the things that I just mentioned that the church is going forward in overwhelmingly? And that is the sense of fasting. Jesus said, any man who fasts privately, I will reward him openly. Hallelujah. So there is the Holy Spirit coming to you individually, and a lot of you are making plans for it. But I'm telling you that it's not just, this is prophetic in this sense. This is not just me preaching and getting a bunch of people in an awareness. This is the breathing part of the Holy Spirit to us as a church. And He's doing it for two reasons. One, He's doing it to prepare us for revival. And number two, He's doing it to prepare us for whatever trials are coming in 2008. Hallelujah. If you don't prepare for the trials in 2008, you know, you may not be here at the end of it. But the ones that prepare, I mean, this crowd that's listening, you're a good bunch, and there's a bunch on Sunday that just can't make it here on Wednesdays that are listening. But I believe a bunch of you will get through it and go through it with flying colors. Hallelujah. Why? Because Jesus said here, if you hear my word and you do my word. Well, every time that you enter into something like we're doing corporately right now, you're actually doing it. How many are glad you're doing something that Jesus said? I mean, you can just rest and say, hey, I am doing something that Jesus said. Well, let me just... another verse of Scripture that the Holy Spirit spoke to me when He was saying, tell them this. He began to say to me out of the middle part of all these sayings in chapter 5, if you just look at the sandwich, we know we look at the beginning and the end, and Jesus said, blessed is the man who does these sayings. He will not fall away. Somewhere in this He mentions, He talks about fasting, as I said, in chapter 6. But look at verse 29. Actually, building up to verse 29, let me just tell you some of the things that He's talking about. He starts talking about, we call them, commonly call them the Beatitudes and all the things, the teachings of Christ here in chapter 5. But in the middle of chapter 5 in verse 22, He's talking about being angry with your brother. And all that it takes to live an offense-free life. By the time He gets past that, He gets into adultery and how that you know, He starts out in this saying, except your righteousness exceed the Pharisees, you'll no wise enter into the kingdom of God. In verse 20, well, how could your righteousness get past anybody that was just a stickler to the law? You've been born again. You've been born again. And so He starts talking here, and we're not really teaching this line on line. I actually want to read verse 29 and 30 just as something that the Holy Spirit's done here tonight. But He says in verse 29, if thy right hand or if thy right eye, rather, offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into the hell. Now this is a real strong saying of Christ. But let me just back up for a minute. We're talking about what the Holy Spirit is saying to us as a body. And I said, you know, if you're going to somewhere, you're contemplating. And I said, I was just so blessed with I think this is the biggest overwhelming response corporately that we've ever had, that people wanting to go in and do something in the first part of this year. He's preparing us for revival. He's also preparing us for any storms that may come, so that you are doing His sayings and you're getting past. What is it that the enemy's number one? If you read this in chapter 5, you'll find that Jesus probably speaks more about it than any other thing. The thing the enemy will come at, and this isn't prophetic in the sense that I hear Jesus Christ telling me right now, say this, but I do hear Him saying this is wisdom and this is His Word based on what we read out of chapter 5. The biggest attacks, the storms that will come, the winds that will be blown, if He can, in 2008, will be at the threefold ministry of the church. What is that, Pastor? It's called unity. Unity. And that's the thing where the enemy comes the most. But if you're doing His sayings and walking in His sayings, how many of you know you'll get right past it? The threefold cord is not easily broken. So what does Satan come after? And if we had time, we'd minister line on line here about what Jesus talked about being offended, at your brother. But in 29, He says some remarkable things. He says, if your right eye offend you, and He's just saying this after He had just said, but I say unto you in verse 22, I said we weren't going to get into it, but it's hard not to. Whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause, 23, and He's talking about a gift, if you bring it, He says you can't even bring your worship to the Lord unless you're reconciled with your brother. By the time He gets to 29 and 30, He's addressing these things that come into the kingdom of God. And I'm telling you, prophetically, I said I wasn't, but I can tell you now, prophetically, the Holy Spirit wants us to know the things that He's ratcheting down and the things that He's steering us away from as a body in 2008 is all that we need to stand against the winds of adversity, against this threefold cord being broken. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Oh, bless the Lord with me, somebody. Thank you, Jesus. Now, when He says in 29, if thy right eye offend thee, now he's talking about, He just talked about adultery. That would be perversion of some sort or something that was leading you astray. But every verse up to that, He was talking about the other offenses that would divert you in walking with Christ. If thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out. Can you imagine that? That Jesus would use that kind of analogy? Just real quick here, I'll tell you this. Many of you have listened to Dave through the years. If you remember a vision he had one time of this particular verse, he was asking God, God, do you really mean? I mean, I know you don't mean for us to mutilate our body. And I might not have this particularly correct, but I do know that at that point in time, somewhere then he had a vision. And if I recall pretty close, he saw himself, and this is a real graphic kind of vision, he saw himself in an automobile that crashed, went down a hill, rolled down a hill. He was thrown from the automobile. He was laying partly under the automobile with one arm underneath the automobile. The automobile burst into flames. He knew in the vision that he was going to be burnt up in the explosion, and it was going to continue to burn. It was going to explode. And as visions go, everything is provided by the Lord. One arm or one wrist is laying under the automobile. He said how things happen with the Lord. He looked over. There was a knife there. He reached, grabbed the knife, cut all the way to the bone, all the way to the wrist, and with all of his might snapped the wrist, yanked himself free, ran up the hill with the explosion in the background just to save his life. And as he come out of the vision, the Lord said, "Son, what I want you to understand is that you must go after, in your heart, in your life, anything that has the capacity to offend or to be offended with the ferociousness or with all of everything that's in you, as if you were saving your own life from destruction." With such a mannerism of the man that would actually cut off one of his limbs to save his life, he said, "You follow after this. Get rid of anything in you that can offend or to be offended." Isn't that amazing? And we know that it doesn't come by will worship. It doesn't come by will worship. It doesn't come by you setting yourself, setting your jaw and say, I'm just going to love everybody. I'm just going to go through 2008. Love. Will worship is you trying to love people. And the anointing that was here tonight just baptizes. And I'm not even saying this tonight because, you know, there's a problem here right now. I'm saying this because the Holy Spirit is telling us in 2008, get ready to have a wonderful, powerful year. Get strong in His sayings. And when you get strong in His sayings, as I said, I'm just lifting my hands like this and thanking God for everybody that's going in at the first part, because I'm telling you what we're doing. We're assuring ourselves that we won't be shipwrecked any place in it. Hallelujah. That we're willing in the Spirit to cut off limbs and say, that's undesirable. I won't live with that. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. So just lift your hands with me, would you? Real simple message, but nevertheless, I heard the Lord speaking it. Father, I thank you for your word. Your word is my truth. It is truth, and it is what I live and breathe for. I thank you, Father, for all your grace. I thank you for such a group as this. They love you. They're not rebellious. Lord, they're not running from you. They're running into you, and I praise you, and I thank you for it. I thank you that you were able to come tonight with your anointing. So let us hear your word and follow your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Glory. Hallelujah. So, Father, bless this. Bless it. Father, I thank you that it's already blessed, and we get to be a part of what you're doing in 2008. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. So you can bring this forward. And then don't forget to give somebody a hug before you leave here tonight. Amen. Glory. You can always pray. Sit around and pray if you'd like, but you're dismissed. Amen.